This is Weighing In with Travis Hartman, possibly the most important podcast you'll hear ever in your life, ever. So, welcome to another episode of Weighing In with Travis Hartman, where we pepper your eardrums talking about boxing, sports, life, whatever else comes to mind. We drink a little whiskey, have a little fun. I'm Brandon Waters. That's Travis Hartman. Before we get started, all we ask is that you give us a little like, maybe a subscribe, even a comment. Any sort of feedback, we appreciate, and we thank you for listening in. Once again, this over here is Travis Hartman. Travis, always a pleasure.
Cheers.
What's going on in the boxing world today?
I think we're seeing an attempt at a, I don't even know if I want to call it a resurgence, because I don't know if there's ever a resurgence of women's professional boxing.
Okay.
But we did have, a couple of nights ago, Michaela Mayer. She was the first women's main event on ESPN since 1980. So, that's positive, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Boxing, because, I mean, that's, geez, 1980.
That's so surprising to me. That
40 years.
Yeah, yeah, with a couple of names that have come along.
That's just on ESPN, though.
Sure,
so
sure.
There's been main event women's boxing because Layla Ali used to fight and things
like
that.
Yeah.
But it's the first event on ESPN since 1980.
Okay. And so, kind of break that one down for me. Break down how that fight came about. Was that initially supposed to be the main event? And then from your opinion as a professional, as you watched it, just kind of give me some color to the match.
Yeah, I mean, I really desperately want to give ESPN credit for this, but it's hard to give him credit because this wasn't the original main event. The main event was Jamel Herring, and he tested positive for COVID-19 a few days before the fights were aired to happen. So instead of canceling the whole card, which kudos to them for not canceling the whole card, they upgraded Michaela Mayer to the main event instead, which is still positive. So she got a good couple of days of, you know, headliner status and a lot of promotion. And then the fight happened, and it was a really good fight. I mean, she won. She's 13-0 now, I believe, after that victory. It went the distance. But it was a positive, I think, step, even though it was by default that she got main event. But it was still a positive step in the right direction, I think, for women's boxing right now. Because of all times, think about this. I mean, everybody's watching TV right now because
sure.
You can't go to these events live. So more people are tuning in. So maybe it was a blessing in disguise for women's boxing. You never know.
Okay, so and I know a little bit of your background here on, you know, on cornering. So I know you've cornered a female fighter back in Missouri, correct? Maybe give us shed some light on that for us for a second, then we'll dive in a little bit more into that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been a big advocate of women's boxing as well. I like boxing in general, so I'm a supporter of all. It doesn't matter your gender. If you can box, you can box, and that's how I've always looked at it. But I also took a very progressive step as I've been a professional boxing promoter as well for 3 years. And last year, I fought on my last show in Missouri in June, and I made a women's fight at the main event.
Okay.
And it was in my hometown, and I didn't have to do that, but I thought it was the right thing to do. And I thought that Ashley Curry is her name, and I thought that she would definitely live up to that hype, I guess you could say. And she more than did. So she was the first main event on a boxing show in Missouri at the time, and I was the first person to do that, and I'm pretty proud of that. So I encourage people to watch boxing for boxing, not whether it's male or female, but watch it whether it's exciting or not.
For the purity of the sport, we talk about that every week. It's, you know, boxing in itself is the pure art, right? So irregardless of who's in that ring, whether it's a male fight or female fight, it's just great at least to see something going on right now on TV. I mean, we're all stuck in kind of this COVID world, and who knows how it looks. So I did not, I'll be honest, because we were texting each other during the fight. I didn't watch the fight because I was laying in bed. I'm an old man at the time that it was on.
I was also laying in bed, but I still watched it though.
Well, I'm older than you by a few months. So with that being said, there was no crowd, right? There was no audience.
No.
Okay. And so you could hear corner talk, you could hear all that stuff. Tell me how, as not just as a fighter, but as a fan of the sport, watching it, what did that do for the sport?
It's really weird to watch. I mean, you can hear everything. So it's super weird. And once you get past that, after, you know, 3 or 4 rounds, you're kind of in the belt, then you're kind of getting used to it. So it got to be tolerable, I guess you could say. But for the most part, you need to hear that roar of the fans, because when you land a big shot, the coolest part about landing a big shot is the roar of the crowd. You don't have that right now,
right?
Which is a little weird. So you hear the sportscasters talking a lot, which I haven't fought myself since the COVID has happened as well. So I'm kind of curious to see what the fighters think, and maybe we'll have Michaela Meyer on our show as well one of these days and ask her about this question, because it's really weird because I know the fighters can hear the sportscasters.
Okay.
So if they're like talking crap, or, you know, not talking crap, being like, oh, Michaela Meyer, you know, she, her left hook is terrible and she dropped her left hand, she can get, I'm like, you could hear that.
So that's an extra element then for the fighter itself. Like, you already have, there's already so much pressure, there's already so many things that you're thinking of and just trying to keep your mind at least clear as best as possible. And you have that added element, because I guess the fan noise, while it could be easily just that motivator, it's also that white noise too, right? So that helps you kind of hone in on the opponent or whatever.
Absolutely.
Else. Thinking, gosh, that's what a crazy world we're living in, right?
I mean, it's different for sure. I think people take that for granted. I think boxers probably took that for granted, fighting in front of big crowds. Until now, I think they're going to really realize, like, holy crap, like, that noise, we needed that noise. And that, not needed, I know that for a fact already, but I always tell everybody, I wouldn't fight if the fans weren't there. I could go in a gym and spar all day.
Yeah.
I fight because of the fans. Like, I fight because of that noise. I fight because of that big crowd and all that.
All
like,
so
how do they do it now?
And obviously, you know, mixed martial arts has been doing that for a little bit, and UFC specifically is what I'm talking about. And it's just, oh. And I don't know, as a fan watching, it is interesting to be able to hear some of those things. Because that stuff, you as a fighter, that's kind of commonplace for you. But for us as just the layperson, like, we're not used to being in a corner. We're not used to hearing that stuff. So for us, we actually get an added element to it. I'm curious when we fast forward this over the next few weeks, couple months, and you start diving into the other sports. What's that going to look like? When basketball starts up here, you know, pretty shortly here in Orlando, what's it going to sound like? Are they going to mic anybody up specifically? Is it going to be a tape delay? Because you know there's a lot of stuff going on the court that they don't want you to hear.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be, I genuinely bet NBA has sat down each team and have told them, listen, we're going to be able to hear everything. Be careful what you say. Which is going to be hard because I know for a fact that when I play basketball, one thing, and when I play basketball, I get in the moment. Sometimes I'll swear. And I'm not a person that swears a lot normally. I don't, because I work with a lot of kids and a lot of adults.
This is a PG-13 podcast.
Well, for now it is.
For now, yeah.
But
I was drinking. Cheers. Okay.
Cheers again.
Clinking. Okay.
So back to the boxing then. So it's something. It's kind of cool to see, but again, I think that I'm not sure that the Michaela Meyer fight is going to bring in new fans, because when I watched that fight, it was 10 rounds, it went the distance. Great fight. For a guy like me, I love to see the technical aspect of boxing, and Michaela Meyer is very technical. She's fast, she's a good counterpuncher, and she does a good game plan. And that's because she's got a great coach too. It's Coach Al Mitchell, who's coached Olympians, who's coached gold medalists. This guy's coached a lot of well-known people, and he's her coach as well. But so it was great to watch that. For me, the technical aspect was amazing. But I said it on our last podcast that it's not the boxing fans that really pay the bills for us. It's the average fan that tunes in to see something, a knockout, or see something from carnage, whatever. And I genuinely don't believe that if anybody turned that fight on, they probably turned it off after about 4 or 5 rounds. And that's not to take, I think Michaela Meyer is amazing.
Yeah.
Not to take anything from her, but it wasn't a fight that, are we going to get new fans because of that? I don't think so.
All right, so take the fighter hat off, put the promoter hat on, and you're looking at the future, looking at the next handful of years, trying to incorporate, you know, more, I don't want to call it gender neutrality or whatever stupid term that we have out there right now, but incorporating more, not just men, but women on a card. What's it going to take? What is it? I don't even know how to ask the question appropriately. When we look in the future at a boxing card, obviously we've seen a lot of it in MMA. I'm surprised they've embraced it so rapidly, and it's taken pretty well.
Yeah.
Now, you needed some characters. So maybe that's what
Ronda
it is.
Ronda Rousey, I mean, that was
a character. Maybe you need somebody that has more of the personality to draw that fan base or stir the pot a bit.
Yeah.
So you as a promoter, when you're looking at this, how do you see the sport? How do you incorporate more women's fights where the fans are drawn to it?
I mean, I genuinely believe that promoters are doing that right now. Bob Arum, who is a top rank promoter, he started top rank again. He's promoted guys like Muhammad Ali. So the guy's been around. He's one of the best promoters and one of the top promoters in the world. and he signed Michaela Mayer. So it's because of him that she's on the main event right now. So promoters are doing their part. Golden Boy, they've also signed a bunch of women's fighters. DAZN, which is a big time promoter now in the DAZN, it's an app. And it's massive. Canelo fights are in DAZN. So they've all done their part, and they're continuing to do their part. Now it's just, is it going to catch on? Is it not going to catch on? And it's not about, again, it's not about the gender. It's about, what is it exciting or is it not exciting? When people tune into boxing matches, even men, they boo men's matches a lot too, because there's not knockouts. Floyd Mayweather, he got booed a lot because of his style. Matter of fact, I'll give you a perfect example right now. Bob Arum of Top Rank. Floyd Mayweather was signed with Bob Arum of Top Rank. Mm-hmm. Floyd Mayweather, I think he was like 20-0, and he was with Bob Arum. And Bob Arum genuinely told Floyd Mayweather, he goes, your style is not exciting. You're not an exciting fighter. You're not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And Floyd said, thank you for being honest with me, but how do I get out of my contract? Bob Arum said, $750,000. Floyd Mayweather begged, borrowed, and pleaded and got $750,000, bought himself out of that contract, and then fast forward to today, Floyd Mayweather is the richest professional boxer of all time. Yeah. The dude's made a ton of money.
Fighting style stayed the same. It was more or less creating the excitement outside of the ring.
Exactly. And we don't have that yet.
I think that's an interesting point that you bring up.
Women's boxing, I mean.
It's not about the gender. It's not about the women's boxing as the sport for women. It is the excitement factor. That, as a viewer, we don't care who it is.
Not just the fight, though, but it's the excitement factor.
It's all the building. It's everything. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
boxing is entertainment. Sure. At the end of the day, you're a showman. It's entertainment.
And I think that spills out to all the other sports that aren't, you know, men and women sports. It's about the excitement, right? It's about what's going to put people in the seats, what's going to put the eyeballs on the screen. You know, when we're doing our podcast, what exciting thing are we doing to get all these thousands of people watching this right now, tuning in?
I think we're talking about women's boxing. I mean, that's what get talked about right
now.
That's
right. That's the excitement. They're watching us fumble through and drink. Once it, you know, I think I say it every week. They fast forward to like halfway in, where we start kind of slurring some words.
About 15 minutes in.
Maybe 15 minutes in? Okay. Well,
maybe sooner, actually. Well, for me, maybe sooner.
What I want to address here is that, you know, we have a different setting, which is awesome. This is the gym. This is the Travis Hartman gym.
This is the TH Boxing studio right here, guys. Yeah. As you can see the background, I got my dad got this logo for me for my birthday. I'm pretty proud of it. And that's my logo, TH for Travis Hartman. So
if you want a good workout, even if you're just sitting here, you'll see you're going to sweat your butt off. I am sweating in here, and it's awesome. But I love this place. I've trained in here before as well. Travis does an awesome job, and that's just a free little plug, which I don't know if it's a free plug because it's our podcast, right?
I mean, we're just telling the truth, though.
We're just telling the truth.
Our podcast is about telling the truth.
Okay, so let's tell the truth back once again.
Let's weigh in on the truth.
Let's weigh in back on, not necessarily female boxing, but let's talk about women's sports in general. So you don't think that it's necessarily society viewing it as, oh, it's a women's sport, turn off the TV. It's just, it doesn't matter what is the excitement. I think, so I'll actually bring it up because we hear about it, well, we used to hear about it all the time. The excitement factor of, let's say, U.S. women's soccer. People were excited because there were personalities. They were good, number one. Number two.
They won, that helped.
Yeah, winning helps. The personalities help. And then the marketing component. I think when you start putting those three things together.
I think that you're also talking, when I'm comparing this to boxing, you're talking about a team sport.
Very
little
very
different to promote a team sport, because then you can pull in a lot of different people, a lot of different, I mean, you have a lot of different ethnic backgrounds as well on a soccer team. Boxing is one man show or a one woman show. So it is a lot more difficult to promote that in that regard. But I don't know. Here's the deal. I don't think it's gender related. I don't think it's excitement or it's not excitement, because women more than ever now are tuning into sports. They're getting into sports. So my question is, if it's about male or female, well, then why aren't the women watching the women? There's a ton of women athletes, there's a ton of successful business women, there's a ton of successful women in general. Where are they at?
I think then...
Why are they not watching men?
So my opinion on that is, it goes back to then the personality kind of character development. And I don't want to make it seem like, you mentioned her earlier, like a Ronda Rousey was, like that was all fake. I don't know. That could be exactly who she is on camera versus behind the camera. But I think when you start adding those personalities in. And frankly, it's not just with women, it's with men too.
100%.
Men's sports.
100%.
You could be the best fighter in the world, but if you're, you know, as boring as sliced bread, depending on how you feel about sliced bread, I mean, but let's say it's boring.
Gluten-free?
Well, that's pretty boring. That's like a piece of paper. Can you eat paper?
I mean, I did as a child.
Oh, I'm
did
sorry.
You, did you ever eat paper? Oh,
I just ate glue, and we can see why.
Kids okay. don't do that.
So when you look at that, even with men, it's a personality thing. It's you as so me as a fan watching, I want to feel like I can connect with this athlete, whether it's a single sport or a team sport, not just because they're awesome on the field or in the ring or whatever it is, but that, you know, I can really click with that, or I can't stand that guy like a Mayweather or Rousey for that case, and say, man, I can't wait to see them win or lose.
To be fair, I think Ronda Rousey, she was good because, I mean, she was an Olympian. And
oh, she was
judo. So she was an Olympian, so like she could obviously fight. She was talented for sure. They promoted her very well as well, and she won a lot of fights too. But if I'm being honest, I mean, people watched her because she was sexy. Let's be honest. How many guys thought she was sexy? A lot. I think Dana White sold that as, you know, sex sells, and she could fight.
I will say this, that I think just my wife is sexy. I don't see anything else.
I was repeating, not that was in my personal opinion.
I say that only,
I was repeating.
I say that because when I was coming over to your gym here, and I was going through the gear and the stuff, and okay, let's get the setup right, let's kind of get our logistics. I'm like, oh my gosh, I left my ring in my bathroom.
Oh no!
So the plug is, babe, if you're listening, you're the sexy one. You're the sexiest woman. I
Brandon just said that you were sexier than Ronda Rousey.
Well, I believe that 100%. I'm not a Rousey.
So you,
Ronda
that's
Rousey,
amazing.
Ronda
that's
Rousey,
amazing, Brandon.
Rousey's never been in my wheelhouse at all, anyways, and she knows.
I
that,
actually so. Will agree with that one
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, she's actually. Honestly, she just kind of scares me, so I don't want her to come over here and, you know.
She's got that effect on people,
got
for
it,
sure.
Got it. So, anyways.
So, back to that. I think that that's what sold, though. That's what sold. So, what I think is, Michaela Mayer is a very pretty girl as well. So, maybe that they're really, and I think they are, they're playing that up a lot. But, again, like I said, she can fight, though. Like,
yeah.
She can also fight, but she's not knocking people out. And then, let's steamroll back to probably the top women's boxer right now. It's Clarissa Shields. Undefeated. She calls herself the GOAT, the greatest woman of all time.
Okay.
She's got a little slogan going.
Personality.
And she's bringing out a lot of personality in people, but she doesn't knock people out either. She's undefeated, and I think she's, you know, she's got a handful of knockouts. She's amazing, though. Like, she can fight. She's a two-time Olympian, two-time gold medalist. She won the gold medal twice.
Okay, so. Okay.
How many people do that?
So she goes the distance with her fights.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, women, men, doesn't matter. Are there any just pure knockout artists out there right now?
In the men's, you talk
anyone.
About anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, of course. I mean, you look at the heavyweight division. I mean, we got Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder literally has knocked every
okay.
single person out that he's fought, besides I think two people, which was Tyson Fury and David Ortiz. No, not David Ortiz. It was one more person I just forgot.
Like Big Poppy David Ortiz? Is
no,
that okay?
No. That's funny.
Different world.
Different world, definitely. David Ortiz isn't the guy's name.
No.
I'm Luis Ortiz.
Okay.
But I believe he did knock him out, though. So anyway, he hasn't knocked only two people out of like 40 fights. Only two he hasn't knocked out. And then you have guys like Triple G, who is a middleweight and who was knocking everybody out
okay.
as well. So, and then Canelo has his fair share of knockouts. But
sure.
But I will, in defense of women's boxing, will say that once you get to that top level, that elite level, you do see less knockouts because everybody's that good.
Mm-hmm.
You might beat them. You might dominate, like Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. That fight went the distance. Two of the best in the world. So. You don't see a lot of knockouts at that top level, but the women's boxing, there is not enough top level women's boxers
okay.
for it to really sustain that popularity. And so, that's where Clarissa Shields is at. She doesn't have a partner to dance with.
Yeah, when the top 10 in the world, and that's really there's how many in the
and
world.
And Clarissa's, you know, 170 pounds. She's a light heavyweight, I think, and Michaela Mayer is like 130 pounds, so those two can never fight.
So I asked you earlier to put the promoter hat on. Let's take that one off. Let's put the trainer hat on. Okay, so we talked about, you know, maybe there's not enough depth. Maybe there's not enough of a field, right?
That's the keyword.
As a trainer then, okay, we're here locally, and a lot of this is more exercise-based, whatever else, but just from a trainer standpoint, are you seeing the women numbers start to increase at all on the depth?
Yeah, I am in amateur boxing, because matter of fact, I train an amateur boxer now, Taylor McCook, and you see somebody that you know as well, Tiffany. Yeah. So they're all getting ready for the Sugarbird Classic here in Florida. It's next month. So this is the most women that I've seen in amateur boxing. So I think that is a very good prelude to what could be in professional boxing, because it all starts at the ground level and works its way up. And that's just the way it is. It's a ripple effect. You can't just have a bunch of women that are pro all of a sudden. They've had to have a base to work their way up to that.
It takes time. We have that now. In any sport, and I speak more from the team sports. My background is more team sports. So when you look at that, the feeder system of that tends to take a long time, years. So when they develop the children's, let's say football, and Pop Warner start to really explode back a couple decades ago, it took time to build
like
the feeder system.
Levels,
right?
They just slowly work their way
up. So when you look at that and teams for baseball, as all of a sudden all these clinics and stuff, I have a good friend of mine that you know works in that kind of world. It just takes time. So maybe it's the same thing on boxing, specifically women, to get that I don't want to call it a feeder system, but just get the base going.
Well, it's almost, if you want to talk about like baseball, it's almost like a farm league.
Yeah,
they need that. The farm league feeds the Major League Baseball.
Sure, absolutely.
Feeds it. You need a farm league. So, but I think. Also, what you need is you need that one superstar, though, because in order for girls to start at a younger age, they got to find somebody to look up to, a superstar right now they look up to and they want to be that person, because there's less women superstars in boxing. Mm-hmm. So in the men's side, there's a lot to pick from. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Canelo Alvarez, we have Anthony Joshua, you have Triple G, you have Terrence Crawford, you have all these guys to choose from, because these kids are starting boxing because they found somebody who they love and they want to be like them. Yeah. I remember when I was growing up, Oscar De La Hoya. That was my guy.
Sure.
I loved when I was a kid. My style, I mimicked after him. And then after I got a little older, my favorite boxer was Roy Jones Jr., which fights nothing like Oscar De La Hoya, but he was my favorite boxer. So I had many boxers.
But the point is that there were many. You were able to jump from here and there, but you had your options. You only. And this is my opinion, once again. So we talk our opinions, and we talk, and maybe we irritate people too with our opinions. That's cool. Boxing needs it. They need a woman that little girls can look to, or not be little girls, but women can look to and actually gravitate towards, like MMA had initially with Rousey. And boom, all of a sudden, different weight classes, lots of women that are fighting, and now they're headlining cards in the MMA world.
Yeah.
And they're getting the pay-per-view buys, and they're getting the watchers.
Yeah.
So I really hope for the sport that you see that, and that we see that, I should say. And hopefully, who knows? Maybe it's Ashley Curry, maybe it's whoever.
That's
the superstar.
I do know, though, that they're not just putting them on TV now more. Like, the purse is going up as well.
Awesome.
Before I told you, before we got on air, the last year, I took Ashley Curry over to Newcastle, England. And she got a purse that was just 10 times what I expected for her.
Yeah.
And she knows that, too, because she's been pro for 6-7 years. She's never gotten a purse like that. And I was even like, that's what's crazy about it. I was even like, wait, what? You're offering this for a women's fight? So I was happy to see that. And that was DAZN over there in England.
Right.
And they've come over actually to America. They have DAZN USA as well. But so that's promising. When the purse goes up like that, that means that they're not just doing that for no reason. Somebody's tuning in extra for the women. So maybe that's what it is, and who knows? So
that's a big topic, and I don't know if we're going to dive into it a lot here, but when you talk about pay and women's sports, okay? Now, I know boxing, you drew the comparison, not a team sport, individual sport. So even like tennis and, you know, women's tennis, obviously, you have superstars there, which is why they get the eyeballs, too. They get the eyeballs on TV. There's no issue there.
Yeah.
So the purses are all nice with regard to...
Well, there is issues there. There's
let's go, man. Let's talk. Well, before we do, because I'm on my second pour. I'm about to pour you another one.
Okay.
So this week, we're gonna say we're unofficially sponsored by St. August Distillery. We're doing the Florida Straight Bourbon.
Florida representing, because we're doing the show right here.
Florida. They have another one that I almost got, but I was like, ooh, that one's about $20 more expensive. But the guy that at the counter is like, you need to try that one. I'm trying to remember the difference. I don't know it right now, but it looked good.
I'm so glad you brought that point up, and then you couldn't follow it up.
That's me. That's because of what I mentioned earlier about eating glue earlier.
I thought you were going to pour me out of the glass. Man, this guy's like,
because I'm
forgetting about it.
Listen, I'm in here exercising by sitting here and sweating.
I'm joining you.
So it's good.
I just showered and got all pretty. Attempted to get all pretty. As pretty as I can get.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Just for you, Brandon.
All right.
No offense to your wife, though.
None taken, I don't think.
So, I mean, we've talked about sports quite a bit here, Brendan. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about women's sports. I don't think at this moment we should dive into the
pay?
Equal pay.
That's a big topic.
I think it's a very big topic.
I have my opinions on some of that, and I would say that it's not a matter of it being women and women's sports. I think it's just the sport in general, and ultimately it's a marketing decision as to who gets paid what. For instance, as NFL salary caps go up, that's a function of not just because, you know, guys are great athletes, it's also a matter of how much advertising revenue is coming in, you know, TV buy or TV ratings, things like that, advertising revenue. So it's all a function working forth. So it's going to be the same thing across the board with any other sport. What I think about is back a couple of years ago and maybe even to today, the whole issue with soccer and women's soccer, obviously, you know, being better on the bigger stage than men's U.S. soccer has been in recent days. And so the debate there was who should be getting paid more and that sort of thing. I don't know. It's a gray area. Because then you start talking about retail sales, you start talking about ticket sales and
TV ratings,
whatever else. I think ultimately, if you're getting the draw, if you're getting those people watching, if you're getting the, you know, people buying your stuff, you should be getting paid. It doesn't matter if you're a man or woman. And man or woman.
You're gonna find it hard for me to disagree right now. Because I agree. And I think what a lot of people would say to combat that is that, well, the women need to be shown more, or we need better opportunities, and then maybe people can decide. But I do think now, more than ever, I do think that we're having a lot of more equality talk.
Right.
And therefore, that's forcing TV networks, that's forcing sponsors, that's forcing everybody to kind of put everybody on that fairly level playing ground as much as possible. Because let's be honest, nothing in life is ever going to be fair.
No.
Period. We can argue about it all we want. It's just nothing in life.
So then we go full circle back to the excitement level, okay? And I know we talked about it prior, and I said I was going to mention something about this. Not to irritate the four fans that they have, but like the WNBA, it's not exciting. I couldn't even tell you how many teams there are. It's just not exciting. And they're subsidized in order to stay in playing, and that's great. I'm glad that, you know, when women come out of college and they actually have a professional league playing inside the U.S. rather than going overseas. And that's wonderful, but I'm sorry. It's just not—it's not entertaining to me. That's just me, though. Everyone's preference is different, but my preference is I don't want to see a bunch of layups and 15-foot jump shots.
Well, I mean, I think that you're not far off based on the excitement level, because again, when people tune into men's sports, they like to see the dunks, they like to see the alley oops, they like to see all that stuff. Boxing, they like to see knockouts, they like to see carnage. The women, for whatever reason, they're not delivering that right now. So you're not far off base in the excitement level. It's not necessarily that it's a woman. It's just the fact that when you tune into the WNBA, it's not what you want
to
watch. There's nothing wrong with that.
To be fair, Travis, when I watch men's basketball, I want to see more than just dunks.
That's fair. But a lot of people like the dunks.
I just don't want to see layups and 15-foot jump shots.
When I tune into professional basketball, I don't tune in.
I can't tell you the last time I watched a
game. I like
game.
College basketball.
Yeah, it's, college basketball.
I feel like college basketball is more real.
Yeah, that's before their minds have been poisoned.
With a lot of money, is that what you mean?
No, not with the money, but just once you hit that level, it's just different. That NBA world is a lot different than when we grew up watching versus what it is now.
Absolutely.
So that's a different podcast talk. You know, you can go.
We can touch on everything.
Yeah, we can go everywhere. So. Anyway, so back to the topic at hand. We're looking at women's boxing and how that might sort of trickle through the other sports world. I'm happy to see that they kept the card going in that main event, and hopefully the viewership was nice. Because ultimately, it's not about man or woman. It's just if it's a good product, it's a good product. And hopefully that helps to encourage up-and-coming fighters, younger girls, to get involved more and more with this sport that maybe they were turned off to because it was viewed as barbaric or whatever else, or just not very feminine. Who cares? You know, here at Weighing In with Travis Hartman, we're smashing through the gender barriers.
Smashing through. We're knocking out gender barriers.
Knocking out gender barriers. That might be not really a model or a slogan for us, but it's good enough.
That could be our title for this podcast, though. knocking out gender.
Knocking out? Okay. Other than my comment about the WNBA and irritating the four fans that they have.
But I mean, and then you just irritated them again. So 8-0.
I'm pretty sure. No. Listen, I don't think those four people are watching us or listening to us. And if they aren't, they should be. And I would really ask you again, look below, hit like or subscribe. Please follow us, make a comment, even if it's an angry comment. I can't believe Brandon said that we only have four fans. We have like five fans.
I mean, you can give him our contact information as well, Brandon. Do we have a Gmail now?
Yes, WayneInTH@gmail.com.
Send us
WayneInTH@gmail.com. You have to know how to spell Wayne in.
Very true.
It's like you are sitting on a stepping on a scale. WayneInTH@gmail.com.
And the TH is T for Travis, H for Hartman. So in case they couldn't hear that, TH@gmail.com.
All right, so yes, we have some contact information. Listen, this stuff is starting to go viral, I think. We can hashtag Wayne in TH as well. But ultimately, I feel favorable and positive going forward on women's boxing.
I like that. That's better than what you've said about women's basketball, so I appreciate that.
Okay, well.
You know, and as a purist for boxing, if you like boxing, you want to promote boxing. I don't promote women's boxing. I don't promote,
no, you promote
men's
the sport.
Boxing. I promote boxing.
Yeah.
And if women compete and do the same, then they
deserve
maybe
that's it. Maybe that's because... Okay, so that's interesting. I didn't think about it this way. Combat sports, when you look at it, you're promoting the card. You're not promoting the specific gender fights on the card. You're promoting the whole thing. So when you look at...
Well, you always have a headliner.
Well, sure, but when you look
but
at...
But not like, male or female, it's you're promoting...
I think we have in our mind, though, the difference in team sports, or even, like... I keep going back to women's tennis, but women's tennis is also marketed differently too. They are their its own thing, and men have their own. They might be at the same location.
They're two different organizations.
But they're two different organizations.
The WTA and the ATP.
Yeah. So when you look at WNBA, NBA, when you look at women's tennis, when you look at I'm running out of women's sports. Soccer.
I guess you do go with golf too.
Golf.
PGA,
okay.
LPGA.
But they're both treated like their own entity.
Yep.
Whereas when you get to a combat sport, they're not.
Yeah, very true.
They're on the same umbrella.
We've been gender equal for a while then, if you want to talk about that.
Go boxing.
We're so progressive with our boxing.
Very progressive. That's kind of how we view our podcast, is very progressive, as we disintegrate while we're drinking this bourbon. So, take another sip, another clink.
It's good bourbon. I've just recently got into the bourbon world though, so. I don't know what's good and bad bourbon, so well, I could be talking out of my butt right now, I appreciate it.
So what we have here, I actually enjoyed it, had it a few times, and any sort of bourbon purist, maybe they would hate hearing us talk about bourbon, because we know anything, but I think it always goes back to what you like, your palate. You might like this and I might hate it, or vice versa, so it's not a matter of, like, this is the best thing for everybody. It's like wine, right? It's all the palate.
I'm like a fine wine, aged to perfection.
Wow.
How long have I been waiting to say that? For a while.
Hopefully you only just, for
I just,
about
I, just had a, I just had a birthday, though. I just had a birthday.
You did. Happy belated birthday.
July 2nd, so I just had a birthday.
Wow.
So I had to bring that up. Also, because that was my birthday present as well in the background.
Yeah, so that was cool. I was here for the unveiling. That was a very cool ad to the gym.
That's right.
We had a good time that night and that afternoon, so thank you for having us. We had a good time. So back to our non-
All right, so
I don't know if you're watching at home.
These guys working hard.
I'm cooking.
This is hard work right here.
Yeah,
this podcast is hard.
Our prior podcast, I'm sitting in the AC. I'm enjoying it. Lap of luxury out here. I am sweating.
This is the gym, though. This is how it's supposed to be.
I'm not a professional
athlete.
You
know that, right? This is how it's supposed to be.
I'm not a professional athlete by any means. I'm a has been. No, I was and never was.
All right. I was gonna jump in. But so you got it.
All right, so I know we were talking about women's boxing because of the event that you saw that was on ESPN, and the fact that the main event was brought forth because somebody tested positive for COVID-19. So now we're looking at other sports starting to open back up. You have, obviously, the NBA starting off very shortly. WNBA as well, so you 4 to 5 fans should be happy about that.
I didn't hear about that.
I must be one of the 4 to 5 fans.
I'm getting ready to say, because how do you know that? Because I definitely did not know that.
Tennis is back.
Well, no, they're doing.
They're discussing it.
They're coming back, but they have started. It's called the World Team Tennis League.
Okay.
They always have it, usually every summer, and it's going on right now. And actually, they actually have fans though. They're allowing a limited number of fans to actually show up there, and they're also streaming, obviously. But the U.S. Open is set to take place at the end of August, which is one of the major Grand Slams.
So you're having all the major sports. So you have NHL has a plan. NASCAR's been back for a handful of weeks now. They're starting to get fans back in. I think there's even a race this weekend, an all-star race. They're going to have, I think I heard, like 30,000 or something like that. A lot of fans, but it's a big track, so they're figuring out the social distancing. You mentioned NBA. We mentioned WNBA.
Baseball has plans coming up.
Baseball. Yeah. So that's all in coming up shortly. I know we specifically try to stick to boxing and combat sports, which both are live too. But I do want to draw a line to another sport, which is still kind of up in the air, which is very questionable, and I think it's more political, and we're going to talk about college football.
They're up in the air. They're not.
They're up in the air. So even the Ivy League has scrapped their sports for the fall, so that includes.
So why do you think this is political?
Well, because I think when you look at it, there's still a question as to how the student body is going to be back on campus or not on campus, and then that trickles into those student sports because, you know, college athletes, college football athletes, they are students first. I know they don't think that sometimes, but they are.
True.
So maybe that impacts it. But these presidents of these universities, I think, start tilt one way or another on the political realm, and some of that is tied to even the governorship and that sort of thing of the state. And how they view what we're currently going through on the COVID side of things. So we talk, because we're in the moment, and that's what's going on in our world, we talk a lot about coronavirus, not a lot, but here and there we talk about coronavirus.
I think we do have to weigh in on that for sure.
We have to weigh in on that, because that is impacting a very beloved sport and one that we would talk about on, you know, as we get into that season, but it's still up in the air. And I'm sorry, depending on when you're listening to this, as we record it, it's July 18th, okay? School's back in a month, maybe not.
Scheduled to be next month, yeah.
There's supposed to be camps going on. I mean, what is happening with college football? And so I think we're gonna have an interesting conversation over the next handful of weeks, maybe even a couple weeks, as to how, let's say, the SEC or the ACC or all these big conferences come into play. And I wouldn't be surprised,
Why
Travis.
Why do you mention the Big 12?
Well, because I get confused if it's 10, 8, or 12. You guys interchange teams all the time. But Travis, I bring that up because will it be interesting if, let's say, the Pac-12 on the West Coast come up with something where maybe they're not playing or having a limited schedule because of the political leanings on that side of our country? How is that for the fan base? Are they actually doing that for the safety of the athletes, or is it more of a political push?
I mean, I think that's such a good topic too, because Brandon, I want to know how a deadly virus that has just swept the world became political. How the heck did this become political?
Yeah, like, masks have become political.
Side turned this into being so political, and why are we not just listening to the experts and using common sense as well?
Well, you want the chicken response to that? The chicken response to that is, I personally think both sides, if you want to make our political system as two sides, because it mainly is, both sides have done things to grab political share during this whole thing.
I mean, I think you know why I think it became political is because it's election year.
Yeah.
Which is probably, they say this every year, this is one of the biggest elections in years. They said that I've heard that since Bush.
Yeah.
The second Bush. Bush Jr. GWB.
Junior?
Well, he's not. What was it? Wait.
George W. Just say George W.
So, GWB. That's when I was around. I was around in 2001. Yeah. Is when I was the first time I was of voting age to vote. So I've been around since then, and I've heard similar things every election. But this is why, to me, that it is, and I think you're right, I think both sides, they share a lot of blame. But if you want to go by stats, and you want to go by actual official numbers, if you want to believe the numbers, then what states are the worst states that were hit by COVID?
Well, now, if we were talking a month ago, there were different states. Now, it's the state that we reside in, Texas, others. But here again, Travis, it's what can we believe anymore?
When I say hit by it, what about death toll? What states have been hit worse death toll?
Yeah, that I don't have in front of me, but what I will say is
I can tell you it's California and New York.
Oh boy, and who runs those?
Who runs those?
Well, our two liberal viewers might not like to hear that. Listen, we look at things, when we weigh in on these kind of topics, we have our own leanings, I understand that, but if we try to level the playing field a bit, we try to kind of talk from both sides. However, I think both sides right now are very guilty of misinformation and politicizing everything, and then the spite that comes out. You turn on any social media outlet you got. You got a Facebook account, open it. There's one person bellyaching about COVID and, you know, people not wearing a mask and killing somebody because you're not wearing a mask, which is a complete farce. And you have the other side saying you've taken away my civil liberties by asking me to wear a mask. You know, so I don't know, Travis. How this impacts the sports world, though, we're already seeing it. The sports that have come back.
Not even the sports world. How has this affected the whole country and sports, economy, your mental wellness, your emotional wellness, like all of that. It's affected us greatly. So, I think it's something that we have to weigh in on. And I know before we spoke, I spoke about an issue last episode about Kaepernick. And I was a little worried about my stance. I was. And I told this one of these ladies that I have, she's my client, she's an older lady, she's in her 50s, and I was like, I'm just so worried because
that's not that old, Travis.
I older than me, so it's not that old. I agree because we're not far from there. Okay. So I do agree with that it's not that old. But she told me, I was like, yeah, I'm just a little worried because I weighed in on this topic that I think I'm going to get a lot of backlash for it. And she was like, listen, Travis, at the end of the day, she's like, you just have to be honest and speak out of love. And if you do that, then you can have any stance that you want. And I generally, if you listen to our previous podcast, I think I did speak out of love. I told my opinion. Mm-hmm. I didn't degrade anybody for what he did, Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. I didn't put him down, but I gave my opinion for what it was. So I'm going to go ahead and give my opinion on COVID as well for what it is, because I'm going to speak out of love. Like, I think it's became very political for sure. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, I think it's been exaggerated. I think the numbers show that. And not only that, everybody tells me to listen to experts. Well, I'll pull up on Google right now. I'll probably Google four different experts, and I bet you I get four different points of view. So when people tell me to listen to the experts, I'm like, well, which experts are you listening to? Because there's a bunch of them that say different things.
Right.
So, like, I think this has been blown out of proportion, and I think that, and I'm going to say this, and I'll probably get backlash, but I think it's because it's election year. I think that this has all been politicized. It's election year. It's whichever side can benefit more or less off of it. So I did bring up the fact that the mortality rate has been worse in Democratic-run cities, which is a fact, that is true. But again, some of the Republican-run cities now, we've seen spikes, they want to call it, which is Florida, Texas, which are Republican-run, for the most part, states. So, like, it's on both sides. But I just find it highly, highly suspect that either side is dividing our country so badly based on something that maybe isn't as bad as we thought.
Here's what I think our viewers and listeners need to understand, and it's not necessarily that you need to take a position on one side or the other, but you have to ask the questions for yourself. What is true? What is real? Can I believe everything that's put in front of me? And I once again, I think sometimes we echo each other a bit, but I think you're right here. You can't necessarily believe what's in front of us, because even here in the state of Florida, over the past week, there's come out reports that
they've recanted, right?
Several of these institutions that were reporting numbers were reporting 100% positive numbers. Or if you were waiting for a test and decided, you know what, I'm going to go home because I can't wait 3 or 4 hours, all of a sudden the mail, some of these people were receiving letters saying you were tested positive. They weren't even tested.
Okay. This is a fact. These are facts that have happened.
And yes, there's always going to be error involved in anything, any study, whatever else. There's human error. So I think when you look at these numbers going up, and when you have to focus in on death rate, hospitalization rate first and foremost, because initially when we shut down our economy, because this ties into kind of like what I do for a living, when they shut down the economy, it wasn't because they were worried about everyone getting COVID. They were worried about the hospitals being overrun. That's why, as a result of people getting COVID-19.
Yep.
Now that we actually are in a situation where more and more people are getting it, our hospitals being overrun, Broad stroke here.
Overall, no.
There is a yes, but broad stroke, no. So that's what we have to look at. I'm sorry, people, if you're listening to my voice, COVID is not going anywhere. It is with us now forever. We are waiting on science. We're waiting on science and biotechnology to give us treatments and vaccinations, similar to how the flu has never gone anywhere either. We just have a vaccination for it every year if you choose to get it. COVID is not going anywhere. It's not going to get eradicated, okay?
I just think that this topic is a good one because, and the reason that I say a lot of these things is because I hate the fact that people have to run around scared. Yeah. Like, I don't want people to live in fear, but I do want people to be mindful of their surroundings and their health and et cetera. But at the end of the day, when COVID first came out, they're talking about like some like 4 or 5% death rate. It's down to like 0.04%
yes,
or something.
Yes,
something
crazy.
It's under the 1%.
Yeah.
Whatever stats you want to believe, it's under that. So
I just hate that
question what's going on right now.
I hate that we're put in a position as the general public to look at those numbers and have to pick them apart. Because we just kind of raise our hand to everything and have to question everything now. So now we look at those numbers and be like, okay, well, in that small percentage, how many of those people died from something else, but they tested this? I hate that. I hate that that's the way our society has become so polarized to this topic. And like you mentioned prior, when we first started talking about it, how it's so politicized that you can't tell me that it's only the Republicans that want to wear masks, and it's only the Democrats that want to wear masks. That's foolish.
Yeah.
To think that way, but that's the way the media, the general media, and that's the way politicians have been positioning in this, and it makes me sick. And if you're listening to my voice and Travis's voice, it should really irritate you too. Think for yourselves, everybody.
Yeah.
Or at least listen to how we weigh in on it, and maybe that influences the way you look at the world too.
I don't know. You got to think about the way we're weighing in on it is that we're not bought, we're not paid for, we're doing this. We don't need sponsors. Nobody's making us believe or say certain things.
But at some point, if you do want to sponsor us, we're okay with that too. However, we're going to be true to ourselves no matter what. I mentioned last week that I briefly mentioned that, you know, kind of wearing a mask into the grocery store is kind of irritating. Initially, when this whole thing started, I was like anti it. I didn't want to do it, whatever else. But then I looked at it and like, you know what? Who gives a rip? It's like 10 minutes of my time.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a pain.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I went to Lowe's today and I forgot a mask. Luckily, their customer service had a mask and I put a mask on. I was in there 2 minutes. I was like, you know what? I'll put it on to go out to appease people. That's fine. I don't really think I'm a jerk and I'm just like, oh, I don't care about other people's health. No, it's not that at all. I put it on. I left. But the only reason that I don't like to wear the mask, I do wear it though, when I have to, I wear it. But the only reason I don't wear it is because I'm like, when does it stop? Where do they stop? Because when do we stop having to wear the mask? Or will we ever stop? Because if they start to get everybody to comply, like we're complying,
yeah.
we're doing compliance for sure.
Yeah.
I'm like, at what point do they start adding more stuff making us do a vaccine?
So
like, I don't know.
So this isn't 6 feet. This isn't a proper social distance, but I'm sorry, for a podcast, that's nearly impossible unless we're in two different locations, which we ain't gonna do that.
But I mean, I think that right now we're allowed to be.
Well, it's like when you go to a restaurant.
If we
went to go have lunch, technically we're in the same lunch party, so you can sit next to each other.
Yeah.
But somebody else, let's say we ate at a bar, but then someone that comes and sits next to you, they have to sit like 3 seats away.
True, but can we also talk about that hypocrisy that I went to eat lunch at Lake Nona? Our Nona Blue here in Lake Nona, and I had to wear a mask to get in. When I sit down at my table, I could take the mask off.
Well, that's every restaurant. That's not Nona Blue specific, but that's every restaurant.
Good, thank you for saying that, sure. I wasn't meaning Justin. I was actually trying to plug it, because it's a very good restaurant. I like to eat there. But I'm just thinking the hypocrisy of that. They're only doing what the state tells them they have
correct.
To do.
Correct. So
that's, I'm not pointing them out.
And so I think the state, well, we're in Florida, so our state is trying to let the counties take care of those sorts of ordinances, which I think is very smart, because once again, it's the broad stroke mentality. You can't just, you know, paint the whole nation as everyone has to shelter in place or everyone has to do this or that. So when you look at the state of Florida, each county has had their own deal. Now it's all kind of the same, where it's, you go to a restaurant, you have to enter wearing a mask, you walk your 10 inches to your table, and then you can take it off. These restaurant owners and the employees, they are just kind of doing what they have to do. I understand that it's a pain for everybody, and every waiter, waitress, bartender that I've talked to since, they're all irritated with it, just like a lot of the patrons are. But it is what it is. This is our COVID life. Where it stops, who knows? On the biotech and company front, there are some things happening. Hopefully, we see some promising things by the end of the year. But who knows?
Okay, I got a question for Brendan.
Yes.
When the vaccine becomes available, because it will, because we're a very advanced world for the most part. When it becomes available, will you take it?
I haven't thought about that yet.
I'll answer.
Well, so, okay. This is a big topic, and we're kind of running short on time, so I don't know how deep we want to get into it. Like, even when it comes to, like, the flu vaccine, honestly, I personally don't get it. I've gotten it before. The reason why I don't get it, Travis, is not because I don't think it works. It's because every time I've gotten the flu vaccine, I've gotten the frickin' flu.
That's funny.
I can say frickin', right?
Yeah, you're right.
I ask that every week.
Yeah.
I get the frickin' flu. Or if I don't take the vaccine, I get the frickin' flu.
Well, I'm not going to get the vaccine. Okay. I've never gotten the flu vaccine. And again, I don't have this, like, this crazy stance against it. I'm not an anti-vaxxer for or against it. I'm not. I know people that are both, and they're good people. And they have research on both sides for that. But, Brendan, I've never gotten the flu vaccine. And I've traveled the world for the last 10 or so years. And I've been to third world countries. I've been to Asia.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny? I've been to Wuhan. We were in Wuhan 3 years ago where the COVID supposedly started, right? I've been to all those places. You know how many times that I've had the flu? I can't even remember because I think it's zero.
Well, so let me ask you then, Travis. What if it becomes mandated to travel? Now, I don't think it'll ever be mandated for a citizen of the U.S. to have to have
it. The flu vaccine to be mandated to travel?
No. The corona, the big one.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
I'll have a big issue with that because I have a big issue of injecting chemicals into people I try to promote this to people.
Well, so hold on, because if you go to Africa and places like that, you're required to have like malaria therapies, things like that, already in your blood. You have to get those shots. So what if
I've never been to Africa, so I didn't know.
Okay, so what if the receiving country, let's say you're going, I don't know, to China or whatever.
You know my favorite part about Asia?
What's that?
Leaving.
That,
we were there for about 4 weeks.
You just angered our two...
Wait, I should not say Asia, because I love Japan.
Uh-huh.
I loved Korea.
Mm-hmm.
China, not so much. I apologize, China. Actually, no, I don't apologize. I did not. It was a dirty country. Very dirty.
They block...
There's kids taking poops on the street.
Can you say poops? They block... They're going to block all this from hitting the China shores anyways. The people that live in China won't be able to listen to this.
This is true.
They, you know, with the...
You can't even, did you know you can't even log into your Facebook when you're in China? I can't even watch Netflix while I'm in China. They block everything.
Brutal.
Can you imagine me being in China for 4 weeks and not being able to get on Facebook?
Travis's first world problems hit front and center. I think there's a lot that we can get into here. But I think I do want to tie this up. I don't think we're going to talk about another half hour about our distrust for China, our security there, if you have to get a coronavirus vaccination. When there's no coronavirus vaccine anyways.
Before we wrap this up completely, I want to tell everybody that I think that our biggest defense for COVID is to live a healthier life, eat better, exercise more, boost your immune system naturally. That's something that I don't appreciate that the media and everybody's not telling us, that people need to exercise more. I think the COVID has shown us as a nation is how incredibly unhealthy we are.
That's a great point.
Not because of our healthcare system, guys. We're unhealthy because of us and the food and the bad stuff that we're pumping into our system. So please remember that. You can boost your immune system naturally. Exercise more, eat a little better. Stop eating processed food, stop eating fast food. Then you're gonna be a little bit better. Is it gonna be a cure-all? No, but like, come on. I did have arthritis. But I'm like, come on, people. Like,
So.
But I exercise well.
Travis, he usually eats very well, and he exercises all the time.
It's a Saturday.
I'm laughing because I did watch him scarf down a bunch of Arby's right before we went on.
But I had a roast beef.
And he did not eat every mozzarella stick. So
also tying the shirt.
So with that, You know,
see, this is why we're honest on this show. We're honest. Like, we're also sipping on some bourbon. But during the week or most of our lives, both of us, we live pretty healthy lives.
Yeah.
We don't eat crazy bad food. We exercise. Price boxing, hello.
That's splurge.
Also, TH boxing, we like to work out. And we do. And I'm not saying that you have to literally 7 days a week, 365. Guys, you don't have to. But if you want to boost your immune system, your overall health and your overall everything, majority of your days you need to eat right.
That is so yes. That stuff's on you. That's not on the government to do it for you. That's not
Absolutely.
On a doctor to do it for you.
Absolutely.
That is on you personally. And so me personally, I want to say, Travis, it's been fun. That's Travis Hartman.
That's Brandon Waters.
We're going to get it one of these weeks. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Make sure you like below or subscribe. Send us a comment. Send us an email at WayneNTH@gmail.com.
Listen, even if you hate us, I mean, tell us you hate us.
I want to see
I don't mind that. I want to hear it all. Like, I have thick skin nowadays because if you look at my Facebook page, you can see that I have to have thick skin.
If you are one of those 4 to 5 fans of the WNBA and are really mad at me, I want to hear it. Send me the best video clips of the layups of 2020 for the NBA or the WNBA season and the highlights. I would love it.
If you can't see me right now, I'm just shaking my head.
With that, we thank you for joining us. And once again, that's Travis Hartman. I'm Brandon Waters. See you next
time. God bless, guys.
This has been Weighing In with Travis Hartman. Thanks again for listening to our ramblings. And for the latest and greatest ramblings, please subscribe below or give us a like. We appreciate it. Thanks.